Amen. I'm glad he loves me this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Take your Bibles.
Go to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16.
They'll turn me up here in a minute. Amen. I felt it. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 16 in your Bibles this morning. It is good to be in God's house and to be loved by God. Amen. If you're here this morning and you had a question about whether God loved you, let me answer it for you. He does.
Amen.
He sent his only begotten Son to die on Calvary to pay for your sin, to buy you back into himself. What a blessing. Amen. If that ain't love, I don't know what love is. Amen. That's charity. You know, sometimes we don't like the word charity because we use it today for those that are helpless, hopeless. Amen. But can I tell you this morning, I'm glad that the Almighty had charity on me. Because when I was helpless and hopeless, he sent his Son from heaven to die on Calvary for me. I don't like to think of myself as somebody who has no help, no hope. But I didn't. Not for myself. And I sure couldn't ask anybody else that was in their sins to help me up or prop me up. But one that came, he was sinless. Amen. The sinless Son of God came from heaven and died on the cross for us. So we do have a payment today, but it's still, you know, it amazes me. We live in this old world, and just to be honest with you, it's still in unrest. Amen. So I want to preach a message today from Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 16 on unrest. All right, let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us before we read the scripture this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for your church, Lord. I pray that you be with the people that are members of the Landmark Baptist Church today, Lord. I pray for them, and I ask you, Lord, to do what I can't do, that you would help look, put all the other things aside, all the worries and the cares of this life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to focus their minds upon your word, and Lord, that they would just be able to take something home that would help them today, to remind them of the things that they've been taught and the things that they've walked in, but Lord, to help them continue. And Lord, I pray for those that have come today that are maybe not members, but they believe and they know Christ is Savior, Lord. They know that. They have a relationship with him. And so I pray that you'd help them, Lord. I help them. They'd pay attention on purpose, that the Word of God would strike deep in their heart and it would remind them and help them and give them direction in their lives, Lord. So I pray for those that are lost in the building today. They came to church. They know about God, but they have no relationship with them. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would go into them and would make clear their lack of a relationship with Jesus Christ. They would see that they are a sinner and that they're headed for a place called hell, and that they would clearly understand that, but that they could realize that you loved them and that you sent your Son to die for them, and if they simply would call upon his name, they'd be saved. So God, I pray that you would do a work that I cannot do. Lord, I pray I'd just be your messenger boy, that I would just read your scripture and deliver the message that you have given me to preach, and Lord, that like the prophet Jeremiah, I would preach, but Lord, I pray that I would not be a weeping prophet this morning, but I would be one that would have tears of joy because people have made a decision to come to God, and that they would make a decision to be saved and to change their lives and to take the right path. God, I pray this in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen. Unrest. Unrest, we see it everywhere today. We see it on college campuses, don't we not? We see it in our world. We see it in our political system, economic. Unrest is defined simply as this, and a lot of times we don't always use the word unrest unless it's in some political realm or something, but we find it and we see it every day. It actually is defined as this: a state of dissatisfaction and disturbance, an agitation in a group of people, typically involving public demonstration and disorder. Do we see that today? It's in the news. Economically, is there dissatisfaction? Yes. When the dollar is not worth what it was worth just a few months, years ago, one of the preachers this week up at the conference really blessed my heart. He said, listen, that now Biden's economy has really helped you. Before he got in office, you could fill your tank up with $50 worth of gas, but now your tank will hold $100 worth of gas. Now, for all of you that weren't sure about that, that's not a good thing. All right? And so if your liberal mind tends to think my gas tank will hold more, no. It don't hold any more than it used to. It just holds more money than it ever did, amen, before. You say, well, that's not Biden's fault. You can't put that on him. Listen, I don't know if it was him or not, but he put a bunch of stickers on the pumps that said, I did this. He claimed it. All right, so anyway, I don't think that was anybody of his supporters. But anyway, I'll move on. But economically, we see that. Think about, I read an article this week about how low the GDP is right now. And if you don't understand, everything that goes in our world is set off of the gross national product or gross product that we produce. And so even our economic state, as far as what we've borrowed, is determined on our GDP. And so when you make less every year than you owe, that's a bad situation. All right, and especially for a nation. And because we're a nation that does not have our dollar backed up with gold anymore, okay, we used to have a standard that whatever we put out in paper, we had it put somewhere in a big old gold bar. We left that a long time ago, and now it's backed up by our GDP. Okay, that means that in other words, because we have so much produce or production, we can say that we will pay you back because it's going to come in, even though the dollar will fluctuate. And by the way, it's a good thing. You know, inflation, it's hard for the dollar to inflate when you back it up with something. All right? And if that thing is inflating along with the dollar, then it's not really, inflation slows. So I'm not trying to make a case for the gold standard today. I'm just telling you, if somebody says, if you loan me this money, I'll pay it back. Usually people want what? Collateral. They want something to back it up more than your word in our day. Now, I'm thankful that there are people that will take you at your word. But listen, if our president said, if you loan it to us, I'll pay it back. I don't even trust him to remember that we gave it to him. Amen. Let alone pay it back. So economically, we're in a mess. Politically, in a mess. Listen, no matter where you are politically on the thing, and you say, I didn't come in here to hear about politics, well, that's all right. The doors that let you in will let you out. All right? And I'm not encouraging you to leave. I'm just trying to tell you, you know, when we preach truth across the board. And whether you like political things, you say, I'm not political, I'm religious. Well, listen, that gets into your religion, because when the state starts making laws and shutting churches down, you better care about politics. When they say that you can come to church, but you got to sit so far apart, they're messing with the church's stuff now. They're messing, politics is starting to mess with religion, so you better care about it. We got to come to the place where we realize, listen, I'm going to be honest. I'm not trusting in politics to save anything. And we make jokes about the president, and they made jokes about the former president. Now, the former president spends more time, instead of on the campaign trail, in a trial. That doesn't breed confidence with me. Not because I don't think he'd make good decisions. I believe he did those things that he's on trial for. And just because you think they took him up there and put him on trial because he's a presidential candidate, you're right. Okay? Nobody would care about that if he wasn't trying to run for president. But it ought to wake all of us up, even if you're conservative and you're not on the liberal side. Most of you just are upset that they even took him there. You don't even ask the question, did he do it? Okay? If you ask, did he do it? Yeah, he did it. When is it that we got to a place in America that we got so much in unrest, we don't care what they did as long as they have our political ideas? As long as they think like I do or they're going to vote like I do, it don't matter if they're holy or not. It don't matter if they live right or not. It don't matter what they say or how they curse. You say you're preaching against. I'm not preaching against anybody. I'm preaching to you. When righteous people rule, can I just tell you, if you're guilty of some things, that ain't righteousness. You say, well, who do we vote for then, preacher? Jesus. That's who we vote for. We vote our Bible. Whoever lines as much up with the Bible, and yes, oftentimes, guess what we end up having to do? Pick the worst of two evils, right? No, that's what they vote for us when they go into the worst of two evils will be when they take your name and take it to all your grandfather and everybody else and vote for you. That's what they did in the last election for you. But all of us ought to show up in person and make a vote according to our conscience about what we believe and what the Bible teaches. Thank God. Listen, I don't know about you, but even, see, God reigns and rules in the affairs of men. Do you know, even under a liberal president, we've seen an overturn of abortion in our country. The president don't control that. We used to think he did. He don't control it. You say, well, a conservative president put them in there. No, you put a conservative president in, and the conservative president had enough sense to put in the people that you wanted into office. Because whether you believe it or not, we still are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And when people show up and we complain, guess what happens? Things get done. The problem is we have unrest. Listen, you know what's going on in the world? We finally, and I'm not saying we're upset, but listen, the world's upset. You know what happened on this college campus? Anti-Semitism is like out of this world. They're even having to put ads on television, trying to get people to have a right mindset about Jewish people. Because you know what? I didn't see people rioting out in the street when Russia attacked the Ukraine. Did you see people out on campuses picking in and camping out in the middle of college, not going to class because they were upset? I didn't see none of that. And you know, that war is still raging. But guess what? When Palestinians attacked Jews, and now the Jews have retaliated, all of a sudden, college campuses are in uproar. Listen, I was proud of the police department. I was proud of them going down and putting them in handcuffs, carrying them off. And I read a couple articles. They didn't just get the students. They got the professors, too. Amen. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you, you know, those kids don't think that way because they naturally thought that way. They thought that way and they acted that way because they were taught to be that way in those college campuses, on those things. And they were, listen, and when they went over to get them, guess who ran out there to try to stop it? The people who taught them how to do that. You say, preacher, why are you getting off? Because that's unrest. People are dissatisfied. They're not satisfied. They're upset. Even this, think about this, the disturbances. You're not disturbed about what's going on in our world and what our America looks like today. You're not agitated. If any word fits our political whims of power right now, it's agitation. I'm agitated we don't have a better candidate to put forth. I'm agitated that we don't have somebody that lives for God and decided to do God's will and do God's work and love our country. Now, I'm thankful for what we got because it's better than nothing. But why are we constantly settle on second best? Why do we constantly go down this road and run with the crowd instead of choosing the old paths of the way things used to be? Everybody wants to say he's a Republican. He's a Democrat. He's a Reaganist. You know, Reagan wasn't perfect, but you stack him up next to the candidate we got right now, and he was pure as the driven snow. Folks, I'm just telling you, we'll lay claim on anything anymore and try to put something on it, put a tag on it, like it's clean and holy. Do you know what the Bible says that we would do in late hours before Jesus came? They'd be calling the things that were unholy, holy. And sometimes we think that this book was written to the world. This book was written to us as believers. And it ain't just the unholy crowd that's saying these things are holy and these are unholy. It's folks that sit in church. It's folks that say they believe this Bible. And if we won't take the Bible and do what's right, then who's going to? If we don't discern things the way the Bible tells us to discern them, if we don't have unrest when things aren't right, then who will? See, the problem is what I see in unrest is, folks, just let me be plain with you. If we're not careful, we'll just be comfortable while the world gets mad. We're just sitting back and watching the world burn the place down instead of us getting mad and saying, listen, this is craziness. And I'm thankful for some other people standing up for the Jews, but where were we? Apathetic, agitated that they're like that instead of involved. Listen, I don't know how many of you, listen, I don't want to show of hands, but many of you are on social media. How many of you got on social media? You know, everybody is burning this one guy down that said that he was really after the Jews and said that they don't deserve to live. Now, I was mad about that too. That agitated me. You know that he retracted that statement? He said, I might have gone a little far. Amen. But where are Christians? All over their social media page saying, this ain't right. I stand with the Jews. I stand with the nation of Israel. They're God's people. Where's everybody reposting? Hey, they attacked the Jews. They still got some of them hostage. We ought to be in unrest and standing unwavering with Israel. You do realize our country has kind of had some knees shake in this thing. Not sure which way to go. They thought about backing out until Iran got in it. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Hey, listen, if you don't understand that politics are with the Bible, politics is how we measure a lot of things in the Bible. Iran shooting missiles at Israel, that's in the Bible. Say, how are you going to measure when Jesus comes back? Listen, every one of you were thinking Jesus is coming back. When you saw missiles flying toward Israel, you thought, our redemption draweth nigh. Hey, if we're not careful, we'll let the unrest in other people give us rest that Jesus is coming, and we'll sit back on our hand. My dad used to call it on your fist and lean back on your thumb. When it isn't missiles that are going to take us out of here in the rapture, it's going to be the last person that we win to Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't looking for missiles. He knows what's going to happen. He's looking for the very last soul to be won to Jesus Christ. And he'll say, come up hither and call us home. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get looking at the unrest and we'll take rest in the fact that, thank God, I'm on the old path. Well, how about getting somebody else on the old path? Jeremiah chapter 6 with me. I want to read the scripture and I'm going to preach fast because I gave 20 minutes of invitation, you know, introduction, all right? And so, amen. And then we need 20 minutes of invitation. So we got 10 minutes in between, right? Amen. And all of you are worried about the chicken that's in the crock pot. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now you understand why Jeremiah is a weeping prophet. He begins with a statement that ought to wake every believer up in this building this morning. If there's scriptures been read today and you really didn't tune in your ears, then one of the things in this book that ought to wake everybody up is when it says, thus saith the Lord. You don't have to question whether it was Jeremiah, like all the liberals do, when he says something. Amen. And then he says to us, stand. Now, that means don't be sitting. Now, I'm not going to have you stand today because I don't want to give you too much exercise. But, I mean, in the Christian life, you know, we're not commanded to sit around till Jesus comes, but to stand for the faith. Amen. Right. Stand fast. Amen. Yeah. To hold on to some things. Listen, I don't know about you, but if I was a soldier, I don't want to be found sitting down when I'm supposed to be on guard. Right. When I've been given a post, I don't want to be somebody walk up and I'm sitting down. There's nothing worse that makes me mad. You know where I got that? From Pastor Carter. To find somebody that's supposed to be working around here on the ministry, and they're sitting down. You say, well, preacher, they were just taking a moment to rest. Uh-huh. The moment I walked up, do you know what most of them do when I do walk up? Stand up. Amen. You ever seen those ones that are, they're working harder at sitting than they are where they ought to be standing? I seen them over at curriculum. Now, this ain't my son, hopefully. But he did do it once, and he ain't done it no more. Amen, because I caught him. And they're up there reaching real high, trying to sit in the seat and push the buttons on the cutter. Amen. And then there's we got some work scholarship guys that try to rake. Right? You ever seen anybody use a push broom and try to pull it? Now, I realize they got to be taught some things around here, all right? But I'm son, that's a push broom, not a pull broom. I know all you've ever done is swept at your mama's house. But this thing is 3 foot wide, and you're supposed to be like a dozer and push that stuff in a forward action. We ought to be standing, doing some things for the Lord, right? But standing up, you know what I've noticed about standing, sitting up high? I don't like being in one of them little go-kart cars. You know why? I can't see nothing. Every vehicle's bigger than me. And when you ain't the big dog, the scenery never changes. All you see is the back of all the other dogs. Amen. So you stand up and you can see a little farther, right? So he gets to this place, he says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye. It's personal. Stand ye. We ought to take it and make it personal today. This message ain't for somebody else, because I've been where you were. I sat where you sat. And some of you today have already decided this is a good message for so-and-so on the other side of the church. That this message is good for so-and-so. Or maybe you thought of somebody you're going to send it to already when it's over. For already what's been said. But you know, for all of us, the Bible is very personal. And it's saying, stand ye. And then he goes on and he says this. I love this. He says, ye in the ways. Do you know the ways? That means there's more than one way. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, there's more than one way to go. You know, what pictures here, and I'll just, if you're going to take notes, the number one, write this down. When you come to the crossroads of life, you're looking for direction. It is, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. That means when you come to the crossroad, you got to find a direction. And in everybody's life, everybody that's in here, every one of you, there are different ways that you could go. This morning you made a decision on where you were going to attend church. You took a direction and you decided to be in church. And some of you could have gone out and done something different. Some of you could have stayed in bed. But all of you took a direction that has led you to this point in your life. And I can just say it as clearly as I can. Direction determines your destiny. When you come to the crossroads of your life, the best thing for you to do is not sit down and just look for the path that has been most trodden down. To look for the path that's the easiest, of least easy. It's ease of resistance. There ain't nobody on this road. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't go out on I-4 because it's the path of least resistance. And it's hard for me to even say this. Sometimes it's the quickest way to get somewhere. Which is really hard to say because a lot of times you just sit on it for a while before it takes off. But you know, sometimes the way that you have to go and the way that you determine is the best way isn't always the easiest route. It doesn't mean there's not going to be tribulation or traffic. Doesn't mean there isn't going to be problems or things, but it is good when you stand and realize there are different ways that you could go and you make a decision and head in a direction. You head in a direction. You know, the Bible goes on, and for all of us, I've learned this. Most of the time,
I can't, even when you get up on I-4 and you're looking heading north and you can see the traffic for a good ways and you can look back and see that there's still a lot coming from Tampa. Even then, I can't see the end of my journey. I'm choosing a direction. But you know what I've learned? I know somebody who knows the end of my direction. I know somebody who knows the end of this road. And he goes on and he tells Jeremiah here, listen, I'm just going to tell you, why is it that we don't always take the right road? Can I tell you that? Because there's a way that seemeth right to a man. And the end thereof is death. You know, if we're not careful, we'll take the easy road. We'll take the easy way out. Sometimes we just make a decision before we talk to God. Listen, that, as a Christian, I'm thankful I haven't done that in my salvation, but after I've been saved, sometimes I've been guilty of making some directional decisions without talking to God, without praying about it, without seeking good godly counsel. Listen, folks, I'm just telling you, as Christians, this is a good message for us today as well. Not just for the one that needs to come to Christ. And I see this direction. I see him make these decisions. And I realize that it's going to head to a place. According to the scripture, and we've read it, he says, and see and ask for the old paths. Can I just tell you that when he says, he goes, you stand in the ways. All these different directions. And he says, see and ask. You know what seeing is? It's more than looking. You know, a lot of times we look. We don't really see. You know the people, you know what I'm talking about? The difference between looking and seeing is, how many of you can tell me, you know, if I were to ask you, now close your eyes. Close your eyes. I'm not going to come steal your wallet. Close your eyes this morning. Now tell me what color your wife has on. You just been looking, you didn't see. Now, wife, you know what color your husband had on because you told him to put it on. It's not a good illustration for you. Hey, for all of us, listen, a lot of times we don't really see. We come to a place in a crossroads and we just look and find a direction that seems like it's easy and we take it. When rather really and see. Do you know when you look? Sometimes I'll get out on a road and it looks right? Or I look and it looks like it's a good road. But when I get the car on it, it ain't that smooth. It ain't that easy of a road. It's pretty bumpy. Some people have passed that way and it looked like a good piece of road, but all of a sudden, man, I realize I need shocks before I turn down that road. Hey, how about it when you turn down that road and you see ahead of yourself? You see, I need to be on the road God wants me to be on. I need to be headed the direction God wants me to be on. Do you know in a lot of times that the Bible tells us that the path that most men take that seems to be the easiest, that's the wide path. That road that leads to destruction. The one that is God's road is typically narrowed. It typically ain't a blacktop road. It's a dirt road. It's just a set of ruts going off into the woods. And sometimes it ain't well beat down like all the other roads are. But it's a place where people have decided to follow God and it goes off in a direction that not everybody's heading. It's an old path. You can see that it's rutted up and that it's worn and somebody's been down it. And the Bible tells us about them. Hebrews chapter 11, heroes of the faith. It tells us a bunch of folks that have walked that road, but they've been gone a long time. You know, I had the blessing of watching. Listen, when I saw that I needed to make a choice and a direction, you know, I didn't choose to follow people that were my age. I chose to follow people who had a little grayer hair than I had. People that had walked with God a little longer than I had. I wanted to see what path they were on. Because I could look and see, and I knew that the folks that had been around me and were my age, they didn't know no more than I did. And I saw somebody that looks like they've been walking a long time with God. I'm thankful that God placed me in this place with my pastor. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. A long time ago, I chose the direction to run with the war horses instead of the show ponies. And I decided that my path would be, I'd walk that path and I'd be on the old time path. Do you know the men of God that really changed America aren't guys that you'd call show ponies? They're war horses. Scarred up, cut up. Listen, I don't know about you. Can I just tell you the old paths, the paths that I've walked in my life that I call old paths, they had branches on them that'd cut you sometimes. Because they weren't well worn. I could see it was a path and it was cut through the woods and you could get through it. But listen, it was starting to grow over because not so many people were going down it like they used to.
Amen.
And when you come to the crossroads of life, if you see that all these other ones are paths everybody else has taken, but I say, God, which path would you have me take? He says, son, don't take all these easy past roads that everybody else takes. All of them lead to destruction. They lead to unrest. But there's an old path.
Amen.
It's as old as my son.
Amen.
It's from the foundation of the world. That path's been walked by the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Can I tell you how old the path is? The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
God planned a path a long time ago, and he let the Lord Jesus have people cut that path and cut that path. And then in the fullness of time, Jesus came and took on flesh, and he walked that path for me. Because it ain't an easy path. It's not one that he didn't get bruised and beaten and scarred. And then he laid down his life and paid so that I could walk a path. And that path, listen, before Jesus came, that there was a promise for the bridge from the old path to heaven. But Jesus came and through his blood built a path, built a bridge, built a way. And we live in a day and age where people don't want to take the old path anymore because it's old. It's not popular. Nobody takes photos and puts them on social media from the old path. It's not popular. Look at me. I'm on the old path. People take pictures today and say, look at me. And they make fun of the old path. They say, look at them heading down the old path. They poke fun at it. You know what they do? They tell stories about the old path. They ain't never walked it. You know what people tell stories on our church? Boy, you can't go down there. They don't love people. You can't go down there. They're not caring people. Oh, you better watch out. All they got down there is policemen. They'll police everything you do down there. Do you know what you'll find when you come in the back doors? That we ain't like everybody says. It's an old path. It ain't like everywhere else I've been. It's different. It's like it's always been. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I really believe that Jesus walked an old path. And so if I want a church, I want a church on the old path where Jesus walked, what he did, live like he did. Listen, how about this? If I'm going to stand at the crossroads, number two, that crossroads is, it's going to be one I'm going to see, and I'm going to have to have some determination. The crossroads of life, I have to have determination when I choose the old path. I see it and I ask for it. You ever had somebody ask you for counsel of which way to go and then go their own way? Can I tell you, as a pastor, I ain't been pastoring that long, but I've been a youth pastor and all the things. I had people ask me a lot about what way to go. And there's only a few that took my counsel. Only a few that decided the old path was the way to go and to walk the old path. Some of them will start out. Can I tell you, listen, think of this. I know that where the time is, but just listen if you would. Determination is defined as this. Simply means deciding. Deciding of a question in the mind. Do you know most people, once they try to make a decision, you know the place that they always get defeated is in the mind? They choose a direction, but when they fall off the old path, it's because they fail in their mind. But with a person with determination, the definition goes on. It says deciding of a question in the mind. It says firm resolution.
Amen.
A settled purpose. Absolute direction. Can I tell you what I got when I got Jesus? I was worried about where I was going to spend eternity. But when I got saved, all those worries went away because I had absolute direction. Because see, salvation, walking the Christian life is one thing, getting on the old path. But when I started out in salvation and made the decision for Jesus Christ, I realized I had absolute direction. Because I put my faith and trust in Him, and He had already walked the old path in my place. And that I, when I got saved, because of I was in Christ, I had a predetermined destination. Not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. Now, I'm not of those people that believe that God chose only me. Do you know that the predetermined place that God wants to take everyone that will believe on Him is heaven? And that if you determine that you don't want to, you know this group, you know what they said? We will not walk therein. Do you realize that thus saith the Lord was for every man, woman, boy, and child in the nation of Israel? And some of them said, the majority of them said, we will not walk therein. Do you know outside of these doors today, there's the open invitation to be at church today was to everybody in Haines City. But this building won't hold all of Haines City. And even though we may have 300 and some people in here today inside this building and another 300 watching online, that ain't everybody. Some people already made a choice. Some of you made a decision to come into church, but now you have to have determination whether you're going to decide on Jesus and follow through with it. Whether you're going to have absolute assurity of where your home will be in heaven by what you do with Jesus Christ. And then I'll say this. We give direction, absolute determination. How about absolute or a crossroads of decision? For all of us, we realize and we've heard the statement. I said direction determines destiny. But you know, your decisions determine your destiny. Do you know, I decided to follow Jesus a long time ago. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, the first place I followed Him was to an old-fashioned altar. You know why we call this an old-fashioned altar? Because this is a place usually that starts the old path. I fell on my face and called upon the name of the Lord, and I was saved from that moment on. You know what? I came to another crossroads of decision. Now that I'm saved, what do I do next? I was directed. I asked God, and God directed me through His Word. You need to be baptized. You need to be a part of my church. I stepped out in faith. Just like I did before, made a decision, and I did that. You know what happened? I was at another crossroads. Do you realize your entire life is crossroads? One after the other after the other. Trying to look, but really go past looking, because that's what a lot of people do. They never find the old path because they don't see and ask for the old path. You know, let me finish with this. I want you to see the scripture with me today. He says this. He says, where is the good way? And walk therein. You know, all of us, sometimes we, when we hit the old path and we get hung up on that path, we don't always connect the old ways or the old path with the good way. You know why they call them the good old days? It's because they're in the past. And they remember that they made a good decision and were determined to walk therein. You know, for most of us, our decision will determine whether they're good old days. He says, because therein is the good way. Just a little testimony for you this morning. I stood out here in the parking lot not too long ago. Because most of us forget what it's like to get directions from someone else because we have a little magic box and she gives us directions. We say, Siri, take me to this place. You know, it gets to be a real problem when that place ain't where Siri took you. That man said, I'm looking for such and such a church, Baptist church. I said, this ain't that church. He said, I know because we went down where she took us. And there, I said, no, sir, there ain't no church down there. He said, well, where is this church? I said, well, what's the address? I can help you. He said, well, the address I have is down there where the church is supposed to be at. I said, well, sir, I can't give you directions if I don't know where you're headed. Do you know one of the things for you this morning? If you really want a counsel from heaven, the first thing you have to decide is where you're headed. When you come to the crossroads, you have to decide, am I saved or am I lost? Am I still in my sins or have I been born again into God's family? And today, every one of you, you know, you can make an answer from that because maybe you stood at that crossroads before and you made a decision and realized you were lost and I'm a sinner. And the Bible says sinners go to a place called hell, not because, listen, I'm just going to tell you, not because God doesn't love you, but it's because all sinners have to be separated from a holy God. But that same God loved you enough, and it's been sung about this morning, and He sent His Son from heaven to die on Calvary to make a way for you to have a decision. See, you're standing at the crossroads. Before Jesus came, you didn't have a decision. But isn't it, listen, I don't know about you, but once I realized I made the decision, wasn't it great to look back and say, God planned this all along. That when I showed up at the crossroads, I had a decision. I could go where sinners go, or I could take Jesus' payment on Calvary to cover my sin, to make my payment for me, because I'd never be able to make it for myself. And to make a decision with determination that would give me a home in heaven. Listen, the crossroads for many of us this morning is, where will you spend eternity? Are you lost? Are you a sinner today? Then choose to do this. Your decision needs to be the old path. The old path means I need to accept Jesus as my Savior. The best thing you could do, you say, I don't know how to do that. The best thing you could do is walk an old-fashioned aisle during an old-fashioned invitation. And let us tell you and say, ask, see that you need to be saved, and come down and ask somebody to help you through the Bible, to show you for a Bible reason why you can go to heaven for sure. Not guessing. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that they may know, or so you could know that you have eternal life. And you know what it says? It goes on to say that that life is in His Son. Hey folks, I'm just going to tell you, this morning you have a decision to make. If you're not saved, if you're lost, you have to make a decision. Are you going to accept Christ as your Savior and be saved? How about sinners in here today? I'm a sinner, but I'm saved, preacher. Have you been baptized? You're at a crossroads. I just don't hear from God anymore. Church isn't like what it used to be when I first came and I got saved. Then take steps to get on the old path. See, the old path brought you in the door. The old path got you saved. The old path will lead you to where God wants you to be, but you got to make steps. You're at another crossroads of your life. Are you going to be obedient to the command of God? Thus saith the Lord. Hey, that falls into baptism. Thus saith the Lord, I'm going to be in church when the doors are open. Thus saith the Lord, I'm going to follow His way, because it's the good way. Do you know what I found when I got to that? Listen, every time I make a good decision in the old path, you know what I find? Rest for my soul. Amen. Yeah. You say, rest? No. I mean, I still work. I'm still busy. There's still unrest all around me in this world. But guess what is resting? This flesh? No. This flesh is wearing out. My spirit sometimes is grieved. But deep down inside of this man, there's always rest in my soul, because I know that there is a destination set for me. And that no matter what happens on this earth, one day I'll cross the swelling tide. And I'll see my Savior face to face. Not because of what I've done, but because of what He did. And I asked Him for the old path. And He said, here, let me walk you down it. I've walked this path before. I'll go with you. The greatest thing about the Christian life is Jesus Christ loves you. And so many times we don't have rest because we think we're walking it by ourselves. But when I started this journey, He didn't make me walk it on my own. He's gone with me every step of the way. And He'll go with you if you say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I'm so sorry for my sin. I ask you to come into me and save me. Give me that eternal life you promised me in Scripture. And then walk with me. Stay with me. Keep me. Amen. Isn't it a blessing to know that salvation is sealed the moment that it happens. And it's sealed because the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells within the Christian. Amen. The rest for my soul could not be possible if there wasn't an indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost inside of my life. And when we show evidence of that, we continue to make decisions on the old path. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, if you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I've tried to be on the old path. I've tried to make decisions. As a Christian, I've tried to do what God wants me to do." Why don't you do business with God today? If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I have never been saved. I don't know where I'll spend eternity, but I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved." Would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I need to be saved. Would you pray for me?" Is there one anywhere? Would you slip your hand up where I could see it? Is there one anywhere in the building? I want to pray for you before we have a full-flown, just old path invitation this morning. Would you pray for me, preacher, with an upraised hand? I don't see those hands. I'm going to pray for you. But what you need to do this morning, if you're not saved and you need to be saved, why don't you walk an old-fashioned aisle and come down and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved this morning. Dear God, I pray that if they are not saved and they're in our building this morning, Lord, I pray that they would be saved. I pray your people, Lord, that they would get right with you, Lord. There's so many of us that maybe we have unrest about all these political things, but Lord, help us to have rest in our soul, knowing that we've done what you want us to do. We've taken and took the old path the way we ought to. Help us to get back on the old path if we've gotten off of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would